All right, Mark chapter 1, we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture at the beginning. I know the teenagers, some others, trying to do this to help out a little bit. And so I made a half sheet that has an outline for them. So hopefully, if you did not get that and you're from a bus route, teenagers, you can ask your bus captain. I email it to him on Saturday night. And so then you can take some notes in the morning service. So hopefully you'll be able to follow along. I give you kind of a skeleton outline to go along, and you'll see at that top there's a lot of verses. And so the first one is Mark 1 and verse 35. I'm going to read a bunch of these verses first, and then we'll get into the message. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it says here, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And so who's the he? Jesus is the one there. So it's in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. If you turn a few passages later, Mark 6 and verse 47. Mark 6. In verse 47, here it says, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." All right, now if you back up one verse before that, so go to verse 46, it says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." So there we see Jesus in verse 46 and 47 getting away alone to pray. Then Luke chapter 4 and verse 42. So verse 42, for those of you that have the handout, 42. "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them." I believe this is following Jesus' pattern. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. I believe he was going there to pray. Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am?" So there we see Jesus again, alone praying. Now we're going to go, I kind of did this chronologically rather than through the books. And so then you go to Matthew chapter 14. And verse 23, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." So that Matthew 14 and verse 23. Then we go to John chapter 6 and verse 15. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone," and I believe he was going there to pray. Then we go to Matthew chapter 26. And now we, if you know the Bible a little bit, you know that we're heading towards the end of Christ's life. And Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." The last one is Mark 4. If you have the handout, it's Mark chapter 14, 33 through 35. And that is the same passage. The same passage that we just read. And he take with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and be very heavy. And he saith unto my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, fell on the ground and prayed. You know, the phrase, many times you'll hear somebody say this, you know, I just need to get away. You ever heard somebody say that? Or maybe you were thinking that this weekend. Or especially if you have little kids, you're thinking that hourly. You're like, wow, I need some time away. I need some me time. That's a famous thing now. I need some me time. I need some getting away. But getting away doesn't really capture the idea of what Christ is trying to get across to us as far as getting alone to pray. Solitude, aloneness. Okay, and as we see Jesus Christ here in these passages in Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 9, Matthew 14, John 6, Matthew 26, Mark chapter 14. What are we seeing? That Jesus, it was a very common practice for Jesus to get alone or to get away. And it wasn't just getting away because, man, it's really busy. Man, there's all these people around me. I just need some time away. I need some me time. You know, solitary or being in solitude is not what most of us like. Most of the time when we're thinking of some me time or self time, we're trying to get away, but it's not necessarily just to be alone. We gravitate, most of us gravitate to crowds because we don't like being alone. Most people fear being alone. But what you find is Christ made it a point to get alone, but it was to get alone with God. And this morning, I want to see the idea that Christ teaches the art of private prayer. Christ teaches the art of private prayer. So what was Christ getting away for? Was he trying to get off into the Judean wilderness and he just wanted to sit and kind of meditate and look at the surrounding and he wanted to look up in the sky, the night sky, and he wanted to see the constellations? Like, whoa, wow. Is that what he's getting away for? No. Maybe he was setting some time apart just to be one with nature. No, I don't think so. Christ was getting alone and setting time apart for private prayer. It was Christ in his devotional time. C.H. Spurgeon says this on prayer. Prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with Christ. And this morning, I want to look at the life of Christ. And we already went through a bunch of the verses. And I think what is instructive to us is that Christ found it very important to have private times of prayer. And I ask you then this morning, so is it very important to you? As a son of God, as a daughter of God, this week, did you feel it important to have time with God? Because our Savior did. And I would venture to say that our Savior is a little better than you. Yeah, he's perfect. And yet Christ thought it important enough to have private times of prayer. So how about us? This past week, did you find some private time of prayer? This story has been told here before, but in Our Daily Bread, Richard Dahan reports this in a region of Africa. In a region of Africa, the first converts to Christianity were diligent about praying. In fact, the believers had their own special place outside the village where they would go to pray in solitude. The villagers reached these prayer rooms by using their own private footpaths through the brush. When the grass began to grow over on these trails, it was very evident that this person who had made the trail was now not spending extra time in solitude and prayer. And because these new Christians were concerned for each other, whenever anyone noticed an overgrown prayer path, he or she would go to that person and they would say, "Friend, there's grass on your path." And this morning, as we start out, I ask you if there's some grass on your path. Have you forgotten to have solitude, alone time with Christ in prayer? May God help us this morning as we consider Christ and prayer and what He teaches us, that it would challenge us to be people again of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would deal with our hearts. Help us as we look at Your Word and we look at Christ's example of prayer through the Gospels. Pray that it would be instructive to us, that we would be people of prayer. Oh, if Christ needed it, how much more people of flesh, weak, spiritually deficit people, Lord, that we need prayer. Convict us, Lord, do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim Your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have two main points here this morning. First, I want to look at bad reasons to stop praying. What are some bad reasons to stop praying? And then I want to look at some good reasons to keep praying, all from the passages that we just read. So first of all, let's consider some bad reasons to stop praying. Well, what we saw in the life of Christ, let me go back through. It says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place. And then in Mark chapter 6, we see, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land." In Luke chapter 4, in fact, if you want to go to Luke chapter 4, that area, we're going to kind of settle in there. In Luke chapter 4, we see in the beginning of it, in Luke chapter 4, in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, all that, that Jesus is led into the wilderness. And there, remember last week on our Sunday morning, we talked in Luke chapter 3. Remember in Luke chapter 3, I believe it was, this is the four times in the Gospels that Jesus' baptism is talked about. And it's only recorded in Luke chapter 3 that Jesus was praying. Remember when it says, there, I'm looking in verse 16, "I indeed baptize you." I'm going back. Oh, there it goes. Verse 21. This is the accounts of the baptism of Jesus. Only the historian Luke records in verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized," and notice the little phrase, "and praying." And so we talked about this. So Jesus beginning His ministry here on the earth, the baptism of Christ was one of those things that was launching His ministry here on this earth. And He began it with prayer. It's very important. And then the next thing we see is that He's led into the wilderness, and He goes, I believe, into the wilderness to do a time of fasting for 40 days. And the devil comes along and attacks Him. And then right after that, He goes right into His ministry. And verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, we see that He's busy as far as His baptism and leading into the temptation. That is the Jerusalem area, Judea. And then we see Him heading up to Galilee area, which is a pretty good hike. And then He's performing miracles. People are around Him all the time. But guess what you see Jesus doing? You see Him at the end of the day saying, "Man, I'm tired, but I need a time of prayer." So the first point that I have as far as a bad reason to stop praying is inconvenience. Inconvenience should not stop your private prayer life. Here was the Savior and Mark chapter 1, it says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place." Later on in the verses that we read that Jesus in John chapter 6, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone to pray. Inconvenience should not stop your prayer life. Here was the Savior upon a lonely mountain, exposed to the winds and dews of the night, the ground that is damp beneath his feet, the air chilled around him, and yet he prayed. How often, as individuals, as Christians, we say, hey, it's too hot, it's too cold, hey, I'm sick, I'm tired, it's this or that or this or that, and on we can go, and an inconvenience stops you from praying. That's a bad reason to stop praying. Inconvenience. Because Jesus shows us there was always a reason not to pray. And you will always find, the devil will always give you a good excuse to not pray. Oh, it's not convenient. C.H. Spurgeon said this, if you do not pray except when you feel like praying, you will not pray much. Nor pray when you most need it. Normally, there's not a lot of convenient time. When I think of the word convenient, there's a very well-known story. I think it's Agrippa in the book of Acts. Remember, Paul came before Agrippa and he shared with him Christ and he shared with him about judgment, shared with him that he needed Jesus Christ as his Savior. And what did he tell him? When there's a more convenient season. If you're only going to pray, if you're only going to be spiritual when it's convenient, I venture to say it's never going to happen. Because a convenient life doesn't happen that often. The devil can make things convenient for you. Convenient not to come to church. Convenient not to pray. Convenient not to read your Bible. So the first thought that I have is bad reasons to stop praying is inconvenience should not stop our private prayer. Secondly, busyness should not stop our private prayer. You know, it takes work to find a private place of prayer, but we need to work for it. Don't just say that I'm busy or that there's not a place that I can find. We can see through the text that I read, and if you read the Gospels, and I challenge you to read a little bit about the life of Christ, what you'll find is that Christ was busy. He had a lot of things to do. He was busy about his Father's business. Remember, even as a 12-year-old, he was already focused and zeroed in on doing that which his Father had told him to do. And yet, in the busyness of his schedule, he steps aside, or he rises up early in the morning, or he stays and he goes out alone in a mountain to pray. I would venture to say that if you and I would line up our schedules next to Jesus, we would look like lazy slugs. And yet Jesus, although he was busy, found time to be alone with his Heavenly Father. A bad reason to stop praying is busyness, inconvenience. The third reason is weariness. A bad reason to stop praying is not just inconvenience, not just busyness, but weariness. Weariness should not stop our private prayer. He went out a great while before day. After the serving, sometimes he departed. Sometimes it would say in the scriptures that he was there, and you read in a story that he's there and he's serving and people are thronging him, and he slips away at the evening, or as the sun is setting, the people are going their way, and he slips away up into a mountain to pray. It seems as though Christ was able to gain strength alone with his Father in prayer. Now, I'm telling you, as I was studying it, this was condemning. This was convicting to me, because it seems there are sometimes that weariness on our part. We say, oh, you know what? I'm just flesh and blood. Oh, I'm just having a hard time. And yet, Christ, if you know this, he was the God-man. He set aside, if you read Philippians 2, that's the amazing thing about Christ, is that he set aside his godhood and he took upon him the form of a servant. What does that mean? He took upon himself man. He took this flesh upon him. And the Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he was able to feel temptation, and part of that was hunger. Some of that was weariness. You don't think our Savior became weary? Yes, I believe he did. But somehow Christ was able to set aside that flesh and say, I need to spend time with my Father. And when he spent time with his Father, he was renewed. He was strengthened. So one of the bad reasons to stop praying is inconvenience, busyness, weariness. And I put this down, because some of you sitting here, this may be your problem. It ain't mine. Perfection. Perfection. You know what? You're so good, you don't need to pray anymore. All right? Now, some of you, it's Father's Day. So wife, maybe you're thinking of your husband. You're like, that's him. Nope. All right. Now, most of you are just elbowing or smacking them right now. No, that's not. I understand that most of us would probably say, well, that one's not for me. But the reason I put it in there is because as I was thinking about Christ, if anybody had an excuse not to pray, it was he that was without sin. If anybody had an excuse not to spend time or to step aside and inconvenience himself, or, hey, I'm weary. Hey, you know what? I'm busy. If anybody had an excuse of why they could let prayer go a little bit, it was our Savior Jesus Christ. And so perfection doesn't even allow you to stop from having private prayer. Because our Savior shows us, even though he was perfect and without sin, he was a man of prayer. Bad reasons to stop praying: inconvenience, busyness, weariness, perfection. But as I looked at the life of Christ, and I browsed through some of these passages, I found some good reasons to keep praying from the life of Christ. Praying identifies you as a Christian. To be a praying Christian does not mean to simply pray occasionally, but to pray continually. No one can live by taking a breath occasionally. Maybe one of you should try that. Maybe over the next couple of minutes, why don't one of you just breathe once? All right, and you'll pass out. We'll have, we'll have to take you out. All this, why? Because you can't breathe occasionally. And so it should be as a Christian. You can't pray occasionally and be a good Christian. A person cannot read by a light. Have you ever tried this? Have you ever tried to read by a light that flickers on and off? It doesn't work really well. Right? If the light is going on and off, you're not going to have a pleasant time reading a book. A sailboat cannot sail with an occasional puff of wind. And so it is as a Christian. A Christian cannot maintain a strong, vibrant spiritual life with an occasional prayer life. And by occasional, this is what I mean. Occasional, for most of us, we would say, yes, I prayed in the morning. But I'm saying as you progress as a Christian, David said, morning, evening, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. I'm saying for some of us that have been saved for quite a while, we should get past the idea that I just have a little morning snack, snibble time. that I have just a little bit of Jesus in the morning. And then I go do everything else. Maybe it is that because you just have a little snippet of Jesus in the morning, that's why he's not with you at lunch. And that's why he's not with you in the afternoon. That's why he's not with you in the evening. Because you just wanted a little snack. Jesus wants to be more than that to us. He wants a prayer life that is vibrant, that is rich, that is strong. He's there to help us in our time of need. So good reasons to keep praying. Number one, the need for power in my life. We see this in Christ. And what do I see? Remember, I go back to last week because in Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, Jesus starting his ministry, what did he do? He prayed. Then in Luke chapter 4 and verses 1 through 13, it's telling us that Jesus went out into the wilderness. And why did he go? To fast. And guess what is always tied to fasting? Praying. Christ, when he started his ministry, said, I want it bathed in prayer and power. You know how you get that? Prayer. A good reason to pray is the need for power in your life. If our Savior needed power for his ministry, don't you? For your life, then spend some time with him. Set aside more than 10 minutes. Set aside a little 1 minute, you know, all of us, I think they made one up now. The 1 minute Bible. Whoa! Yeah! If you just ate 1 minute a day, now some of us would probably do as good, but if you only ate 1 minute a day, you're not going to be very healthy. And it's the same way in your spiritual life. Do 1 minute a day and you're not going to have much power in your life. Look at later in the passage in Luke chapter 4. So remember, he started his ministry prayer. He goes and he fasts and prays, and the devil attacks him at that time. But notice in verse 17. So then he starts up his ministry. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He goes into the Sabbath. Look at verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. All right, that's the Isaiah. That's the New Testament way of spelling the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Look at verse 20. He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, sat down, look what happened. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They're in just awe of this man. Why? Because Christ's prayer life had brought power. Look at verse 32. It continues on. They were astonished at his doctrine. Look what it says. For his word was with what? Power. Look at verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Even the devils were crying out because they saw something different in Jesus. Man, do we need that today? We need power today. In our lives, in our families, in our ministries. How is that going to come? Follow the example of Christ. Go with Christ. There's a man, I think it's Ian Bounds, that wrote a book, With Christ in the School of Prayer. Go with Christ in the school of prayer. And you know what you'll find? You'll find he needed prayer because he wanted power in his life. What's a good reason to keep praying? The need for power in my life. Secondly, if you continue there in Luke chapter 4, look at verse 42. It says, and when it was day, he departed, went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto him, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. All right, if you continue on and you go through Luke chapter 5, so he continues on. In Luke chapter 5, and he's working with his disciples there in Lake Gennesaret, the lake of or the Sea of Galilee. And look at the end of verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and the great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Look at verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You know what a good reason to keep praying is? Yes, I need power in my life, but also I need renewal from temptations, trials, and labor. You see what was happening? They're all saying, oh no, stay, come on, stay. He's like, there's other cities. And so then he goes to other cities and they're thronging him and saying, hey, man, this is amazing what he's doing. But it comes to the end of that time. And you know what's going to happen to you? It's family life. It's work, it's ministry, there's other things, there's problems that'll come up, and we're going to be weary. It's a bad reason to stop praying. No, a good reason to keep praying is go up into that mountain, the solitary place, and God will give you renewed strength. You know what you see Christ doing? Going up to the mountain, he comes back and he's fired up again. Learn to get with God, to get that strength renewed. Get your strength renewed. Then, if you go to Luke chapter 6, so we're continuing on with Christ, and we're seeing him work. And he started his ministry out. He wanted power, and he got that power. Then, as he's laboring, he's healing the sick. The devils are being cast out. Man, they're thronging him, but he still says, you know what? I need to be renewed. And so we see, man, that's a good reason to pray, because I need renewed strength. But then look at verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Look at verse 13. What happened next? And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. So at that time, those disciples, basically 11 of them, would become apostles. They would be the ones that basically would carry forth Christ's ministry through the book of Acts. Some of those apostles, many of them would die as martyrs because of carrying forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what was that gospel? That Jesus Christ came down to this earth as man. A God became man, and he died on the cross for the sin of all the world. And yet, not only did he die and was he put into the tomb, but he came out of that tomb victorious. And they spread that word. So this was a very important decision. Why? Because the ministry of Jesus Christ was going to be handed to these men and cast out into the world to spread it abroad. Big decision, isn't it? You know a good reason to spend time in prayer? Oh, it's the need for power and the need for renewal. But it's the importance of decisions in your life. See, Jesus was coming up to a big decision. He was going to pick 12 disciples that were going to go and carry forth his work. So guess what he did? He spent time in prayer. Spent time in prayer. So some of you, you're coming up to a decision. All right, and there could be simple decisions. All right, guess what? I don't have to fast and pray about my lunch meal normally. Like, Arby's, Taco Bell. Neither. All right. You don't have to fast and pray about certain. And I'm not saying there are some decisions that you're praying for wisdom. So guess what? I can choose to eat bad. All right. So I can go and, you know, get a greasy, sloppy burger and, you know, die at 48. Okay. But there are other things that are pretty weighty. There's young people here. young people here, and you're coming up to a point where you got to kind of decide or ask God's leading in your life. As far as what does God want for you? Like, I don't know. I just feel. What are you feeling? All right. You know what? I can tell you this. I don't feel like, as I get older, I feel like doing nothing more and more. Nothing at all. I just want to get up. And sometimes I don't even want to get up, and I just want to sit. And that's it. Well, if my feelings dictated everything, I'm like, oh, so what are you going to do? Nothing. I just feel it. So feelings, that's not a really good thing. Well, what about, does God have something to, can I go to Scripture? Can I spend time in prayer? And sometimes it amazes me that here is somebody that is going to be choosing their life's mate, husband or wife. They're going to be choosing that. Like, so have you prayed about it? A little bit. You know, I pray for wisdom every morning. Really? I mean, you're not spending. Look at the life of Christ. He started his ministry. Then he had a time of fasting. Then he gets he's going up into the mountain to pray. And he's spending all night in prayer. Don't you think that your life's mate, the husband or wife that God has for you, it's not worth an all-night prayer meeting? Man, it's the silliness of our lives sometimes. That we wouldn't spend time in prayer. Some of us, you research more. You research more the tile that you're going to put in your bathroom or your kitchen than in some of the weighty matters of your life. Some of you spend more time in the choice of your car and research than the church you attend. And what's going to have more lasting impact on your life? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I just got to move. So have you prayed about it? Have you spent time with God? What is the Heavenly Father? You don't think He has some input here? He does. Man, there are decisions that are in our life. And God cares. So we should spend time. What's a good reason to keep praying? Good reason? The need for power. A good reason? The need for renewal, for temptations and trial and labor. A good reason? The importance of decisions in my life. And then the last one, we're there in Luke. So let's go farther down. It's towards the end because you're going to know as we're getting towards the end of the book, Luke 22. The giving of strength for hazards in my pathway. What was coming up for Jesus here in Luke 22? We know what's coming up. He's going to die horrible death on the cross of Calvary. I don't care. He is human. He does know what's coming here. But look at chapter 22. And look at verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place. Now that's interesting to me. We could park here. What does that sound like? When he was at the place. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like he had a place in the Mount of Olives that even the disciples knew that was the place. What was the place for? Prayer. They knew, oh, Jesus has a place. So he comes to the place. And he says, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and he prayed. And this is what he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove thy cup or this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, doing what? Strengthening him. You're going to have hazards in your path. All of us will. There's going to be hazards tomorrow. Some, there's going to be hazards this afternoon. Some of you this afternoon, and I understand, some of you come in and you're coming on Sunday mornings. I appreciate you coming on Sunday mornings, and I appreciate that you take the time to come here to church. But this is the hazard. This afternoon, you're going to have some choices. And the hazard could be, because some of you, you have some ungodly friends. And the hazard's going to be, hey man, why don't you look at, it's a hazard. So how are you going to have strength? See what Jesus did? He had the place. And he went to that place. And he knew it was going to be tough. And angels came and strengthened him. You know, God, I think, has some angels. He has some folks ready. Because you're going to face a hazard this week. And he's ready to deploy them to you. But you've never asked. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. You don't even ask him. I can do it! Don't you know who I am? Yeah, your flesh. And our flesh is weak. Remember the disciples? Soon to be apostles? Carrying forth the ministry. Watch ye. That's some of you. Isn't it? And Jesus is there. And it is the trial, really, of the millennium. It's the trial of this whole world. It's salvation. Literally, rest upon this fight. And that's what some of us, in our spiritual walk, we just treat it lightly. That's not a big deal. No, it is. The devil's made prayer to you a light thing. I can tell you this, as even in my Sunday school class, all right, this morning I slipped out. And you know why? Because it's weighty on me this morning. As one of our members is in surgery right now and will be for about 10 more hours. We need to see God. And that's just physical. There's spiritual battles. Parents, some of you, You're fighting this battle with your children. But you're fighting it with the flesh. And Christ, the man of perfection, the man of men, the man who knew no sin, gets alone and prays. Slips off into a mountain, rises up early, and goes into a desert place. And yet most of us who live in this Adamic flesh, who live in this horrible, rotten flesh that basically wins night and day, we can't find a simple minute to slip away to the place to meet with our Father. And you wonder why you don't have power. You wonder why you don't have strength. You wonder why you don't have direction. And you wonder why you don't have the help. You know why? Because you have to find Christ. No, you have to find God in that place of prayer. Sir Walter Raleigh came to Queen Elizabeth. Sir Walter Raleigh was known for coming in and asking the queen over and over for requests. And finally, Queen Elizabeth, he was coming in again with a petition. And the queen was angry and said to Sir Walter Raleigh, "When will you ever stop approaching me with petitions?" And Raleigh said this, "When the queen stops granting me petitions. He said, it's your fault. You keep answering them. And how sad for us. Because every time I've gone to my Father, He's never said, why do you keep coming to me? Instead, when I spend more time with Him, I feel more renewed. I feel more strength. I get more power in my life. I get more hope. He has never denied my request. And that is your Heavenly Father. So come to Him. Make your path. Make your path cleaned up this morning. Weed it. Get back to the place that daily and maybe a couple times a day, it is a regular habit to spend time with God.